Hello, everybody, and welcome to the CCMP podcast. As always, I am your host, Carlson. In this episode, we have the story of year 4 of the symposium, which took place in 1998. But first, why don't we head on into the men's room for the news? This first story comes from PokerNewsDaily.com. It's a new poker series that's going to start next month, and it's supposed to evolutionize the televised poker. It's from Poker Reality LLC, the premier. It's a international agency that represents a lot of the poker players. It announced Tuesday a new poker program called iSeries Live. The proposed tournament series will kick off at 6 p.m. Europe time, 2 p.m. Eastern time here on April 5th in Dublin, Ireland, with a $10,000 buy-in winner-take-all. The features of players like Daniel Agronyu, Phil Hellmuth, and Carlos Mortensen. The iSeries is a unique event with enhancements by Poker Reality, or Royalty, sorry. The players are sequestered. They don't get any smartphones. They don't have any outside influence. And the reason for that is that the tournament is set up with this unique system in which you can watch the tournament live. While you're watching it, you will get odds on who's the favorite to win, and as the chip stack changes, how those odds change. Along with, you can also make bets on what the next color card's going to be, who will be the first person eliminated, who will be the next person eliminated. And as they continue to play, the players themselves will be beneficiaries of the action behind the scenes. Along with this, they can, makes it unique. So they can get a split of the revenue from bets that are made on or against them during the live event, which makes it unique by the fact that they can make money while playing in the poker tournament. So if you want more information on this particular thing, you can go to PokerNewsDaily.com. And that's all I have on this story. Oh, you can make the bets. Paddy Power is the name of the site, according to that you can place your bets. So that's all for this story. This story is from ABCnews.com, and it's about Don Johnson. No, not the actor from the 80s of Miami Vice. It is a blackjack player that in Atlantic City broke the bank. He won $15 million from 3 Atlantic City casinos. He won like $6 million from one, $4 million from another, and $5 million from another one in Atlantic City. And I just wanted to go through this real quick. Like I said, it just caught my attention. And he claims that he won it fair and square. He wasn't really counting cards, and he didn't. Now, I did see another article in which they claim that he set up something with the Tropicana where he could get certain rules changed that would favor him. Not by a lot, but a little bit. So, but that is all I have from the men's room this week. So let's head on out. So now let's head back to 1998, the year of this symposium. So, here we go. The movies that came out in 1998 were Something About Mary, Armageddon, and Lethal Weapon 4 came out. In sports, the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl over the Green Bay Packers. The World Series was won by the New York Yankees. The NBA, the Chicago Bulls, won their third straight title and completed their second three-peat. In NCAA basketball, Kentucky won the national championship. And in NCAA football, the BCS was born, and Tennessee won after this is the year after Manning left Tennessee, but they won the national championship that year. In Cali, California went smoke-free in bars and other establishments. And on TV, that 70s show was first premiered. And that is the year 1998. So this one, that's it for the year that was. All right, we are going to talk about year four this now. I don't want to get too preachy about what this is or what it is. All I know is that the symposium has begun to take its form of what it is. It's not what it began as, although the roots are there, and it's not truly where it's at. It's in its teenage years, I guess. The first 3 years were kind of its infancy, and this is its teenage years where it's started to develop into what it will become. You know what? I'm going to stop there before I start getting into being real preachy about what it is or what it isn't, because I don't want to do that. So, as usual, I ride down with me, Boo, and Rich ride in a vehicle, and I'm not sure if we get people following us this time or not. But as we head down, we come into the small town of Woodall, where Tony is teaching. He has a house there. That is why we have chosen this, because Aaron has moved out of Fayette, Iowa, and Tricky is no longer in Iowa, so we have no place to really go there or find what we're looking for. So we get down there. Now, the symposium has... I'm not sure if this is the year we started to go down on Thursday night. I don't believe it is. Thursday comes a little later, so I believe we're still starting it, and it's still running Friday to Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. So we get down to Tony's house, and as we pull up to the house, nice little old house, we cannot walk on the front porch. The front porch is, for lack of a better term, condemned. It's a porch on cinder blocks, and if we walk on it, it'd probably fall apart, especially with the large men that we have. Anyways, and I'll get to that later. There's no screen door on the front door, which means the doors are going to have to be open, but it's really, really hot. And, of course, it's always hot whenever we hold the symposium. I've joked that we could hold the symposium middle of January and it would be 90 degrees outside if we held it. So, and I've had people go, well, then you guys need to hold it in the middle of January. But that's just kind of a joke. So, anyways, we get to Tony's house, and we're early, and the symposium doesn't officially start till later in the evening. So, Tony informs us that he has a softball game this evening, which wouldn't be that big of a deal, but you have 10 to 15 large drunk men who decide we're all going to the softball game with him. Not that he cared, but he's got probably a larger cheering section than he's had the entire time he's been down there. So we go down and we start to have our fun, and of course we're drinking. And I guess Jerry, being Jerry, decided to start lipping off to... I don't know if he was lipping off or he was being Jerry. Then I guess him and Aaron kind of had a small argument. I don't know this. I had overheard this from Aaron himself, and maybe at some point they can describe what the actual argument was. But just so that was coming. So, and I kind of told you that to tell you this, that in our group we have certain dynamics, and it's called guys that are like not necessarily best friends, but that are close. We have what we call hetero life mates. Certain guys get paired up with certain other guys simply because they've been around each other forever, and that's what they do. They act like old married couples, so we call them hetero life mates. Jerry and Aaron are hetero life mates, which basically means they act like an old married couple. We joke about it a lot. It's Aaron and Jerry. It's Cliff and Bitch, or Dave Cleveland. There's other ones. I mean, Joe and RJ are hetero life mates, are considered hetero life mates. There's several other ones. Rush and Bach. That was just a little dynamic. So basically, them arguing was like a married couple arguing at the softball game. But again, that's another issue, and whether you wanted to hear about it or not, I'm telling you. So, anyways, we go to the softball game. They play, and I know we continue to drink while we're at the softball game. So we all pile back in, and we head back to the house. I know it's getting late. We drinking. We start the party, and of course everybody's talking and having a good time as always. I believe we ended up walking down to the local bar in Woodall. Nothing major happens there. It's just a typical little bar. We go down there and we spend the evening down there, most of the rest of the evening down there, just sitting around talking and drinking, getting reacquainted with everybody, because we hadn't seen some of these guys. I mean, I hadn't seen Jerry, I hadn't seen Aaron in at least, I won't say a year, but close to that, since the last symposium. Several of the other guys we probably haven't seen much of since the last symposium. Which is what the symposium is for. It's so we get to see these guys. I mean, unfortunately, we only get to see these guys about once a year. Everybody gets to see everybody about once a year, but that's what we did it for. That's why we do it. It's good time. So we get together and just get to be crazy. Anyways, we're at the bar, and I know that we broke off. We didn't break off into groups, but we were playing. And I know some of the guys were playing pool, guys drinking, talking. I remember Boo and Rich and Rush, I believe, were playing Golden Tee. And I know that anytime Rush was up, he was calling, he was calling Rush Big Sexy. Boo was calling Rush Big Sexy many times. So we head back to the house shortly thereafter. We're done at the bar. We had been, like I said, we're in pretty good shape, but we're drinking. And so we head back to the bar. We get back to the house, and I think people start to kind of, they started playing some cash games, I think, or playing a little bit of cards. Some of the guys were falling asleep on the couch and stuff. One of the prime spots seemed to be at the top of the stairwell. Okay, like I said, this is a basic house. We had the front room, and we had the kitchen. We had a dining room area and a kitchen. We had a grill outside to help us grill. The dining room was set up with a nice long table for cards. In the front room, we had maybe one. I don't know if it was even set up yet, but we had one table, maybe two in the front room for cards. There was a couch and some recliners, so you could. That's where some guys fell off to go to sleep. And like I said, one of the prime spots to do it was you could go up these stairs and go up to the top, and there's like a landing. And if you went up to the top of stairs, if you went straight, I believe you went into a bathroom, and to the right and to the left were bedrooms. I know I at one point had gone up to the stairs and was up there, and I laid flat in the laid on the stairwell where it was basically the prime sleeping spot for most of the people. We slept there. So we get up the next morning. I'm not sure if we were doing breakfast at this time yet or not, but I know we got up the next morning and we headed out to play golf at Windmill Golf Course. Nice little golf course, pretty cheap. We get to play golf 18 holes for like a certain amount of money plus what they feed us with lunch. Just a little picnic stuff, hamburgers, brats, and like potato salad, beans. Yeah, just what our group needs is to eat beans while we're all stuck in a small room together, but that's where it was. So, we play golf. We do our 18 holes. Nice little golf course. There's some water hazards, which come into play in later years. As we do this, now, this is the year that Adam, and I don't want to offend anybody that would be listening to this that gets it, but Adam, we were watching it, and as certain scenes came out, Adam would yell out, "Put it in her ass," which suddenly became anytime anybody did something at in the poker game, or it was like got a bad beat, or somebody beat somebody with good car, got beat or something. Yeah, we'd yell, "Put it in her ass." It's just something we started to say. At the same time, we have a new or somebody we have a video called an adult video called The Adventures of Butt Woman and Wonder Wench. This is the entire reason for me saying that the Ron DeJeremy rum needs to be the rum, the official rum of the symposium. What it is that in this, it's a parody of a Batman, and Ron Jeremy is playing a villain called the Penguin. And this deeply disturbs Boo because as we're doing this, he's going quack, 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 quack the entire time that he's playing this character. He just, every time he does something, he'll just be going quack, 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 which we learned disturbs Boo. So we start going quack, 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 quack all the time. And it just bothers Boo, just because we're assholes like that and we like to mess with people. Now, what we do with that is that we go on from there, that we learn later on that this has now ruined several kids' books for Cliffy and other people because it'll read there's I don't know what the book is, but I know that Cliffy has complained about it, is that he's reading this book and he's going, and the little yellow ducky goes quack, 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 quack. And unfortunately for Cliffy, all he can think about is this thing that we got here. So that is pretty much what I have for year four. I don't have a whole lot of fun stories this time, but there were some interesting ones. Anyways, just to recap a little bit. So the first year of the symposium, JT won our World Series of Poker. The second year, Aaron won our World Series of Poker. The third year, Adam won our World Series of Poker. And in year four, Mark wins the World Series of Poker, which was this year. Which brings my symposium memories. Oh, no, it doesn't. I have one more little bit of information or thing about this year's symposium. And that would be that this is the year that we met Farm Boy. Dan is his name. But Dan is his name. And we call him Farm Boy because he's a farmer. He joins the group. Well, he doesn't really officially join the group this year. He doesn't join for at least another year or two. Because at the time that we meet Dan, he is a student of Tony's, who will later become basically our liaison or person that gets us the place where we do the symposium now. He lives down there, so he does that. But that is how we met Farm Boy. So I guess that will bring year four to a close. Alrighty, so as I bring the podcast itself to a close, I'm going to leave you with a few things. And here's an Irish love ballad that I have. But the greatest love, the love of all, above all loves, even greater than that of a mother, is the tender, passionate, undying love of one beer-drunken slob for another. That's just a little poem there from one of our things. And let's see. I don't know if I want to read. Oh, let's do this. This is things that JT says on the golf course, or JT on the golf course is the way it was. Here's Jerry, do you think my game is improving? Adam, yeah, you miss the ball much closer now. Jerry, do you think I can get there with a 5-iron? And Chuck says, eventually. Jerry, this is, Jerry says, this is the worst course I've ever played on. Dave, this isn't the golf course. We left that an hour ago. So that's tricky. There's some stuff. I don't know. What, I don't really have much else. At some point I'll have to go through that, but we've pretty much come to the end. Finish this up here real quick. This is a legendary comedian by the name of George Carlin, who passed away about a year or two ago, I guess. He was one of the guys that, I don't want to say inspired, but everybody in the group kind of likes him. We think that he was really good. In one of the many pamphlets that we sent out, we had a thing that was posted in there. It was George Carlin Speaks Out, and I'm just going to read that here real quick. And this is George from George Carlin. It says, I like big cars, big hooters, and big paychecks. I believe the money I make belongs to me and my family, not some mid-level governmental factionary with a bad comb-over who wants to give it away to the crack addicts, squirting out babies. I believe that if you are selling me a Big Mac, you'd better do it in English. I'm not in touch with my feelings, and I don't like it that way. Sorry. I want to know which church it is exactly, where the Reverend Jesse Jackson preaches, where does he get his money, and why is he always a part of the problem and not the solution? My heroes are John Wayne, The Simpsons, and whoever canceled Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman. I know wrestling is fake, and I don't waste my time arguing about it. I think the cops have the right to shoot you if you're running from them. I think if you are in the passing lane and not passing, your license should be revoked, and you should be forced to ride the bus until you promise to never delay the rest of us again. I think global warming is a big lie. Where are all those experts when I'm freezing my butt off? I thought all through the winter. I think if you are too stupid to know how a ballot works, I don't want you to decide who should be running the most powerful nation of the world for the next 4 years. And that was just a little thing from George Carlin, which I know I didn't say right. Let's see. I believe that's about all I have here for this week. So I will leave you with If You're a Man, You'll Understand. And I will try to get year 5 up here real quick, because I know I'm running late on year 4. So, to everybody and all, you know, like I said in the last one, which I know didn't come up real quick, if you have any suggestions or you would like to get a hold of me and we could probably try to work something out where you can come on and talk, or even that, and hopefully maybe I can get something set up where we can do this at the symposium also, so I can interview people there or talk to people there. Not really an interview, just sit down and have a conversation is what this is. So, again, I will leave you with the symposium motto. If you're a man, you'll understand. See you in year 5. Good night.